Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from Uncle John's Bathroom Reader, Plunges into Music. Question number one. Back in 1963, Alan Sherman wrote a humorous song about his son's summer camp experiences. What was the name of that popular tune? Was it A, Camp Granola? Was it B, Summertime Blues? Was it C, Hello Mada, Hello Fada? Or was it D, They're Coming to Take Me Away, Ha Ha? Summer Camp Song, 1963, what is its title? And question number two, back in 1977, a humorous song whose lyrics seemed to make fun of short people rose to number two on the charts. Which famous songwriter wrote that song? Was that A, Cole Porter, B, Chuck Berry, C, Randy Newman, or D, Carole King? Short people, who wrote that song anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of May the 7th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1833, that composer Johannes Brahms was born. His 1863 Variations on a Theme of Paganini is among over 200 other compositions. Born today in 1833. It was 7 years later, 1840 today, that composer Peter Tchaikovsky was born. Known for many works, including Swan Lake and 1812 Overture, he composed 7 symphonies, 11 operas, 3 ballets, 5 suites, 3 piano concertos, a violin concerto, 11 overtures, 4 cantatas, 20 choral works, 3 string quartets, a string sextet, and more than 100 other songs and piano pieces. Tchaikovsky, born today in 1840. And in country and folk music news, we have this review of an album by Haley Williams, Flowers for Vases, Descansos, and it's given 3 out of a possible 4 stars. This review is published in The Week magazine, February 26, 2021. The second solo album from the front woman of Paramore arrives less than a year after the first, and it's more solo than ever, said John Pareles in the New York Times. Haley Williams recorded it in her home studio, and like other quarantine albums, its songs often have a folksy acoustic guitar strummed or picked at their core. She easily handles keyboards and drums as well, though, and maintains a highly polished sound throughout this breakup record, whose 14 tracks highlight her gift for melody and careful emotional balancing. rage and self-criticism, insecurity and conviction. Don't expect the arena-ready vocal stylings that helped make Williams a punk pop star, said Mary Stokey in ConsequenceOfSound.net. Here, the 32-year-old stays comfortably in her lower register, spinning stories instead of spanning octaves. The album feels like a collection of quiet, yearning, grieving love letters, some written to the world, some to herself. As luck had it, rather than tuck them away, she chose to share them with us. And in classical music news, we have this article entitled, It Breaks Our Heart Not to Sing, How Choirs Are Keeping the Music Alive During COVID. Choral singing has become a health hazard, and reuniting isn't as simple as hopping on Zoom. This is written by Carl Paul on the 22nd of April, 2021, and published in TheGuardian.com. As anyone who has tried to sing happy birthday at a Zoom party this past year can tell you, online audio does not work well with multiple users. This is because Zoom, like most other video platforms, experiences a 300 millisecond to 1 second lag between computers as information gets sent over the internet. The delay renders directing and singing music simultaneously nearly impossible, making the pandemic eerily quiet for the 1 in 6 Americans who sing in a choir. Choral singing, a group activity that requires breathing intensely within earshot of one another, often while crowded into small rooms, is one of the highest risk activities for the spread of COVID-19. Following highly publicized reports of choir rehearsals that turned into tragic super spreader events, choir singing was one of the first activities to go remote, and experts say it may be the last to come back. But the longer the pandemic has worn on, the more innovative answers were developed to help choirs sing together again, from drive-in choruses in outdoor parking lots to tech solutions. It was amazing to be able to sing with my friends again, says Eon Bass, a seventh grader in the Ragazzi Boys Chorus, a Silicon Valley choir that has made online rehearsals work through a technology called JackTrip that eliminates the dreaded delay. Sometimes I forget I'm not in a normal practice because it feels so real. When the coronavirus pandemic exploded in the U.S. in early 2020, the Ragazzi Boys, a group of 250 boys between the ages of 7 and 18, ran through quite a few contingency plans, said Kent Zhu, its director. Then a tech worker, parent of a young choir member, started tinkering with hardware to find a solution for the sound latency. Mick Dickey, one of the several parents involved with finding tech solutions for the chorus, came across JackTrip, that's one word, by the way, a project out of Stanford that allows musicians to synchronize their singing with software and audio circuitry that is much faster than what is available in most laptops, desktops, mobile phones, or tablets. The device plugs into a wired internet connection using an Ethernet cable to avoid the delays and unpredictability of Wi-Fi. JackTrip was made more than 10 years ago, but it has found new widespread use in the era of coronavirus. When nearly a dozen of the Ragazzi choir members plugged into JackTrip, they heard each other sing clearly for the first time in 6 months. People liked that they could join in from wherever they were, even if we could not sit together. That is something we would like to keep around. While choirs have shown remarkable ingenuity, Most members agree that many of the measures that make singing safe make it a lot less enjoyable than the preferred and traditional method of singing in spaces with better acoustics and the ability to see and hear cues and body language from fellow performers. As it was put in a 2020 paper on safe COVID singing practices in the Journal of Voice, it is breaking our heart to not sing with each other. We ache for singing and connection beyond the screen. Meanwhile, some choral directors have opted to sing in person with safety protocols in place. From choral singing masks, developed through crowdsourcing and structured to keep cloth away from the mouth while singing, to innovative outdoor concerts. For Meg Brin, a high school choral teacher in Iowa, a state with relatively few governmental guidelines surrounding the coronavirus, keeping students safe required a lot of research. She found best practices by collaborating with fellow instructors. The choir's fall concert was streamed online while the students singing masks and distance from one another among the seats of the school theater rather than on stage. We worked very hard to keep up on everything, share it with each other, and basically shape our policy in line with what scientists around the country were saying, she said. In keeping with these suggestions, some are taking their own innovative approaches. An ensemble in Canada created a drive-in concert, streaming the music over the slightly faster radio waves to prevent the lag time experienced online. When you are part of a choir, you are part of something bigger than yourself. We have music because art is essential to the human condition, and choral music is part of that tradition. I think when we get out of this, we're going to see a renaissance of art and creation.
Ils y vont de petit n'importe où, bras dessous, en chantant des chansons. C'est si bon de se dire des mots doux, de petits rien de tout, mais qui en disent là.
Eartha Kitt performing C'est si bon introduces our jazz music news. It's entitled Eartha Kitt's Amazing Journey from Abandoned and Abused to Hollywood Legend. New book. My mother survived so much, Eartha Kitt's daughter, Kit Shapiro, tells People, ahead of the release of her memoir, Eartha and Kitt. This is written by Liz McNeil, published on the 7th of April, 2021 in People magazine. There were two different people that coexisted within my mother, Kit Shapiro, tells People. One was Eartha Kitt, the other was Eartha Mae. They were two distinctive parts that made one person. Eartha Kitt was the legendary entertainer who seduced audiences worldwide and whose signature purr as Catwoman in the late 60s made the role all her own. Eartha Mae was born into poverty in the small town of North, South Carolina, the illegitimate daughter of a young black woman and a man she assumed to be white and whose identity she never knew. Eartha Mae was the one who gave her strength, says Shapiro, whose new memoir, Eartha and Kitt, A Daughter's Love Story in Black and White, is expected in this week's People. My mother would often say, I've used all the manure that's been thrown on me as fertilizer. But she also overcame, she adds. Even when she urged her mother to let go of her childhood pain, her response was always the same. Why would I let it go, she'd say. It's who I am, and it made me who I am. Eartha Kitt's mother, Anna Mae Keith, was only 16 and married when my mother was born, writes Shapiro. My mother always assumed that she was probably conceived by rape. It was assumed he had been white. Both illegitimate and of mixed race, Eartha was treated as an outcast, she writes. When her mother met a man who offered to marry her, he demanded that she leave Eartha behind, telling her, I don't want that yellow gal in my house. And so, at the age of 5 or 6, Eartha was sent to live with another family where she cleaned house, picked cotton in the fields, and was mocked and beaten. Eventually, an aunt in Harlem sent for her, and she arrived by train wearing the few pieces of clothing she owned because she did not have a suitcase. After her talent for singing and dancing was noticed by a school teacher, she received a scholarship to a prestigious black dance company and began touring Europe. One night in Paris, she was asked to perform solo. With no act and no costume to speak of, she ran out and bought a bolt of cloth to make a dress, by the way, she said yes. Over the next 6 decades, she sang all over the world, and at her side was her daughter Kit. "She named me Kit because she wanted to be sure that her name lived on," says Shapiro. She never understood why people should be pigeonholed by race, religion, and sexual orientation, says Shapiro. Her point was, we're all human beings. We're all part of the human race. The world's a global place in which we're all connected. Together, till the end, she writes how her mother died in her arms on Christmas Day in 2008 from colon cancer at age 81. How fitting that the woman known for her sultry rendition of Santa Baby, a song that was written for her, died on December 25th. She knew the importance of timing, says Shapiro with a laugh, and in a way it was poetic. Shapiro's book, Earth and Kit, is out on May the 4th. And in music research and technology, we have this article entitled How TikTok Chooses Which Songs Go Viral. And this is published in MarketResearchTelecast.com. Written by the staff on the 23rd of April, 2021. It is generally believed that the songs that go viral on the short video social network TikTok do so in an organic and spontaneous way so that no one can predict what the next musical success of the application will be. However, Bloomberg revealed this Thursday that actually behind the popularization of a melody, there is a highly administrative selection process. According to the outlet, TikTok executives help determine which videos, songs, or trends go viral, or which clips appear on personalized recommendation pages. As an example, Bloomberg referred to the success of the song Savage by rapper Megan Thee Stallion, which this year won the Grammy for Best New Artist among other nominations. It seemed that Savage spontaneously went viral on TikTok as a result of the enthusiasm of its users. But according to Bloomberg, the success of the song was the result of a clever marketing campaign in which the platform's administration analyzed user data and advised 300 Entertainment, the rapper's record label, how to promote her. TikTok asked the label to include 5 songs on the platform to monitor various metrics before finally choosing Savage. According to TikTok's Director of Musical Associations, Isabel Quinteros-Anus, the speed at which users saved fragments of the song in their private sound folders for future use was growing exponentially. The platform then deliberately let Savage simmer in the app for several days before placing it in the most important playlist and advertisements at the top of your search page and sound library, where users select music for videos. TikTok also helped popularize the hashtag Savage Challenge, a dance routine created by 20-year-old Kiara Wilson, who had previously been hired to create similar dances for rapper T-Pain and other artists. The Stallion is not the only case. Bloomberg notes that at the beginning, TikTok assigned individual managers to thousands of app stars to help them with everything, whether it was tech support or college tuition. Now, TikTok regularly advises popular content creators on which tags and features are important to the app and its advertisers, as well as connecting app stars with brands and musicians, regularly resulting in financial partnerships. The main users receive weekly emails with instructions about what videos to make to increase her exposure, said Gabby Murray, a 19-year-old creator with 8.5 million followers who earns about $20,000 a month on TikTok. In turn, a TikTok spokesperson noted that trends still occur organically on the app. Aretha Franklin's Respect introduces our rock and pop music news. It's an article entitled, Jennifer Hudson's Aretha Franklin Biopic, Respect, Delayed Until August. This is written by Sidney Buxbaum, published in Entertainment Weekly, October 27, 2020. The wait for Respect is going to be just a little bit longer, as Jennifer Hudson's Aretha Franklin Biopic has been delayed 7 months for a new August 2021 release date. Previously set to premiere on January the 15th, 2021, Respect is now slated for an August 13 release, Entertainment Weekly has confirmed. This is just the latest new movie release to be bumped back due to the coronavirus pandemic, and the second time that Respect's release date has been shifted after it was originally scheduled to premiere in August 2020. Named for Franklin's hit song of the same name, Respect stars Hudson as the late singer, helmed by award-winning theater director Liesl Tommy. Franklin personally chose the Oscar-winning Dreamgirls star to play the title role before her death in 2018 at the age of 76. We met in New York, and one of the first things she said to me was, "You're gonna win me another Oscar for playing me, right?" Imagine Aretha Franklin looking you in the eye and saying that, Hudson told EW with a laugh. I was like, I can try. And in local music news, we have this upcoming concert, Cirque de la Symphonie, put on by the North Carolina Symphony, Thursday, May 13, 2021 at 8 p.m. Conductor, Wesley Schultz. Acrobats, aerial flyers, contortionists, and strongmen perform awe-inspiring choreography to orchestral favorites that will thrill audiences of all ages. So go to ncsymphony, that's one word, .org, or phone 877-627-6724 for more details and tickets. So how did you do on today's important musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, back in 1963, Alan Sherman wrote a humorous song about his son's summer camp experiences. What was the name of that popular tune? Was that A, Camp Granola, B, Summertime Blues, C, Hello Mudda, Hello Fudda, or D, They're Coming to Take Me Away, Ha Ha Ha? And the correct answer? Answer C, Hello Mudda, Hello Fudda. As noted in Uncle John's Bathroom Reader Plunges into Music, in the early 1960s, 11-year-old Robert Sherman spent a few weeks at a New York summer camp called Camp Champlain. He hated it. Robert wrote desperate letters to his parents begging them to come and get him. They refused. So Robert threw a butter knife at another camper to get himself sent home. It worked. The other kid wasn't hurt, though. But lately, the same summer, to the surprise of Robert's father, songwriter Alan Sherman, Robert asked to return to Camp Champlain. Sherman encapsulated his son's hatred for camp and rapid change of heart into a single letter home from the fictional Camp Granada and set it to Ponchielli's classical melody, Dance of the Hours, released on Sherman's 1963 album, My Son, the Nut, Hello Mada, Hello Fada, reached number 2 on the singles chart. And the answer to our second question, back in 1977, a humorous song whose lyrics seemed to make fun of short people, rose to number 2 on the charts. Which famous songwriter wrote this song? Was that A, Cole Porter, B, Chuck Berry, C, Randy Newman, or D, Carole King? Correct answer? Answer C, Randy Newman. As noted in Uncle John's Bathroom Reader, Plunges into Music, Newman was well known in the 1970s for writing darkly funny first-person story songs. In 1977, he scored a hit with Short People, an ironic song about how ridiculous prejudice can be. A sample lyric, for example, is, "They got little hands and little eyes, and they walk around telling great big lies." The song received a lot of media attention and airplay because many people thought Newman actually hated short people. Nevertheless, the song was a number 2 pop hit. Despite its success, Newman dislikes the song. He feels it made him look like a lightweight songwriter and a hateful man, and still refuses to include it, even though it's his biggest hit, on his greatest hits album. Hey, he just wants to be respected. So let's close out today's program with a more truthful Randy Newman song, I Want Everyone to Like Me.
I want everyone to like me. I want everyone to like me real bad. I want everyone to approve of me. When they disapprove of me, it makes me feel so sad. Want to earn the respect of my peers.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long until next time.
Honey, you don't look well.